All right, it is shortly after 10, and this is Lamont Albertson, and I'm going to chair today, since most of our other chairs are detained. But we will ask Savannah, if she will, to have a roll call to establish our quorum. Okay, Savannah.
Good morning. We have Downriver Elder James Charles. Downriver Elder John Andrew.
Downriver Elder John Andrew.
Upriver Elder Alan Simeon.
Upriver Elder Alan Simeon.
Good morning, Savannah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lower River Subsistence, my
Lower River Subsistence, my
Somebody's got two phones going.
Who?
Mike Williams?
Yes. Cousin.
I'm Needle.
Mid River Subsistence, Walter Morgan. Up River Subsistence, Barbara Carlson. Up River Subsistence, Fred Bobby. Upriver Subsistence, Ruby Egress. Headwaters, Dan Esai. Headwaters, Kevin Whitworth.
Kevin's here for Western Interior Rec.
First member at large, Fritz Charles. First member at large, Albert Quagley.
Here.
Second member at large, Mary Peltola. Western Interior Rec, Rebecca Wilmars. YK Delta Rec, Alyssa Rogers. YK Delta Rec, Robert Hoffman.
Here.
Commercial Fishing, Charlie Brown. Sport Fishing, Lamont Albertson?
Yes.
Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, Avery Hoffman. And James Nicarai. Alaska Department Fishing Game, Nick Smith.
Here.
And Ross Rennick.
Here.
We have 6 voting members present, so we do not have quorum.
All right.
I just signed on. This is Dan.
Morning.
Good waters.
Good morning, Dan. So with Dan, then we would have quorum.
Yeah.
I will attend the meeting only till 10:30, though.
Okay. Please let us know when you leave so we can mark it down, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. That's all of the, our, that's our attempt to establish a quorum. We do have a quorum, so we will have a meeting here briefly. Under the introduction, I'll ask the Alaska Department of Fish and Game if they will start out with the introductions. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Sean Larson with the Department of Fish and Game.
John Chesley, Department of Fish and Game.
Iris Fletcher out at the sonar site, Department of Fish and Game.
Chris McDevitt with Subsistence Division, Fairbanks.
John Linderman, Department of Fish and Game in Anchorage.
Are there others? Next, we'll have the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Hey, good morning. This is Boyd from Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge.
This is Chris Tulik with the Yukon Delta Refuge.
Good morning, Chris.
I'm at Nick Crowe with the Yukon Delta.
This is Nisha Pilcher with the Office of Systems Management, Western Interior Rock Coordinator.
And the name again, please?
Sorry, Nisha Pilcher.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other Fish and Wildlife employees in attendance? Hearing none, I'll ask for other agency members if they will please introduce themselves.
Andrew from Quesuk.
Yep. Say again.
John Andrew from Quesuk.
John Andrew. Thank you, John. All right, are there others who would like to introduce themselves right now?
This is Trevor MacArthur with KYUK. Good morning.
All right, we got the KYUK introduction. Who was the other person?
Stephen Alexi, Namaskar.
Yeah, morning, Stephen.
Morning, Rebecca Wilmar, Western Interior Rec, calling from Red Devil.
Are there other people at this time who would like to introduce themselves?
Good morning, Jim Simon with the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission.
Hi, this is Teresa Moji with the Intertribal Fish Commission.
All right, hearing no more, then I will ask that we have the invocation now. I will ask Mike Williams, if he will lead us and lead us in Yubik as we pray in English. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you very much. I will pray in language, and please pray in your own way. Ukut chikki utsun chali ukani 지우는 딸 코나 순자리 난라람 고야오 최순수 지키우도 늑자리 그때 보는 가다이 다다 혹시나 저리 전략을 끊는 등력을 지우는 각나 고야오 최순자 한관 비적도 지우사만의 것입니다. 감사합니다.
Thank you, Lamont.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. And thanks for the many times that you've done our invocation for us. There are next on the agenda is the approval of minutes. And since there are no minutes from the last meeting that I know of which need to be approved now, we will move on to the approval of the agenda. Are there additions or any deletions which should be made to the agenda now? So do I hear a motion then that we approve of the agenda?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Robert. Is there a second after Robert's motion?
One second.
Okay. All in favor of the agenda as it is written right now, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Same sign. Hearing none, the agenda is approved. And I will ask now that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service update us regarding this week's fishing. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Chair. Yeah. Hey, this is Boyd. Yesterday we met with the Intertribal Fish Commission, but the Fish Commission members that are on can jump in anytime to add something that we discussed the fishing opportunity that was on Saturday last weekend, set net opportunity, and we discussed run timing, our concern with chum, and various issues over the assessment package that we've been getting, and we felt comfortable that we would rescind the emergency special actions that have been in place this summer from the federal side, starting on June 1, and so starting at 12:01 a.m. on June 21st, the plan is to rescind, well not the plan, we have, with this announcement, we're rescinding the emergency special actions 1 through 5, and there will be no further federal protections at this time. We continue to monitor and look at the ADF&G data, and we obviously would feel compelled to do something if there was a need to, but at this time we feel like due to run timing with chum being approximately 90% past vessel at this time or soon, that we feel like the pressure of the fish has gone down, and talking with Nick and ADF&G, the plan is to keep things closed for the time being anyway, so we feel like there's no reason to have the special actions in place at the time. And that's really our only announcement. We do still hope that the coho or the silver salmon run will come in strong and there won't be any concerns there. That's the only thing we'll be watching for the most part here on out the rest of the season. So, Mr. Chair, that's it from Fish and Wildlife Service, unless there's something I missed that the Intertribal Fish Commission would like to add.
Okay. Do we have anything to add to the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is Kevin.
Kevin and then Robert. I beg your pardon. Yeah. Go ahead, Kevin.
Just to add a little bit to what Boyd was mentioning there, I think he said June 21st. He meant July 21st, so tomorrow would be relinquishment of federal management. But just to add a little bit more to what he was explaining, the rationale behind that, you know, run timing for Chinook salmon, we're getting a little bit down to the dwindles. I mean, we're past the 95% mark. Same with buckeye salmon. By the 21st, we're over 90% of the runs complete for chum salmon. Also, the effort right now, just looking back at the last opener, the effort for fishers getting out and fishing, it's dropped dramatically. Most people are focusing on fish, berries, and also folks are waiting for the coho salmon to start arriving. So we felt that this is good timing to do this. And I think last year it was right about the same time when this was federal management was given back to the state of Alaska. That's all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Robert?
Yeah, I just wanted to inform the board last year we had no chum salmon. This year, some why and why, I don't know, the chum salmon have returned. We're pleased to see that many, many chums have been caught thus far in comparison to last year. So we thank the department for giving us the opportunity to get some chums. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. Are there other members of the Intertribal Fishing Commission who have anything to say right now? I'd just like to say thank you, Boyd, and thank you, Robert, for and thanks, Kevin, for your report here this morning. And the only thing I will say is about our community-based harvest summer, and that is that we are having our closing a celebration of this summer, and we are very thankful for the fish that have come so far. And we are having it this Friday at our office over at the college. And so we would like to invite you to stop by. And again, we're going to have it in the afternoon of Friday, and you can stop by at any time, and we will be there. But the community-based harvest monitor for this summer of 2022, is pretty much over now. And I wanted to thank Therese, who has headed that up for our Intertribal Fish Commission. Thank the of all village representatives who have also provided for information so that we can go forward with the planning our dates of the openings and closings. And the public also, and the fishermen up and down the Kuskokwim River who have gone by the rules pretty much. And again, we wish for a Intertribal Fish Commission wishes for a strong silver season, and that remains to be seen. But thanks for everybody who's participated with us and who has supported the Intertribal Fish Commission for this summer. Have I left anything out, Therese?
Thank you, Lamont. I don't think so. That was pretty good.
Okay. Are there any questions? All right. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has a recommendation which is under consideration and is well typewritten this morning and distributed to the members who are here so we may understand it. So, Nick, I'm thinking I would turn this over to you right now.
Thanks, Lamont. This is Nick Smith with the Department of Fish and Game. I was not able to get my management recommendation into the packet, but it was sent out this morning around 8:30. And now with the emergency special actions being rescinded, kind of reverting back to the state management side of things, the management recommendation that I have is to continue the status quo that we've been doing with the river closed downstream of Kalskag Bluffs and let this last tail end of the chum run go through. Chum catches are dominated at test fish and for salmon species at the sonar the last couple of days. So my management recommendation is to continue to keep the lower river closed until Sunday, July 31st, at which time we'd rescind all of the current management actions that are in place. So any of the size or length restrictions, the retention of chum and chinook in any of the selective years, we'd just be going to an open fishery for the entire river. and that can be seen in that first bolded part of my management recommendation. Secondly, we continue to keep the spawning tributaries closed to gillnets and selective harvest of kings until the end of August, so August 31st. And so my rationale on this is that by July 30th, an average of 99 to 100% of the king run, 99 to 100% of the sockeye run, and 96 to 98% of the chum salmon run pass through Bethel. At that time, we'll have approximately 6 to 21% of the coho run, and therefore, like in previous years, relaxing the restrictions as warranted. The last thing that I would like to talk about is we do have a single catcher cellar registered with the department again this year. As we move into coho season, so beginning Wednesday, August 10th, I'd be looking to provide commercial gillnet periods again for that single catcher cellar. So I guess those are my two management recommendations to the group today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there questions?
Mr. Chair, this is Kevin.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Thank you. Sorry for talking over you there. Sorry about that. Anyhow, Nick, I was wondering what your outlook is for coho salmon and the justification for commercial fishery. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Our outlook for coho salmon is another average run, and we've been meeting there. Kudrugluk escapement goal this year with Queefluck being, we'll have the escapement goal at the Queefluck to also evaluate. This is a single catcher cellar that's been operating in the lower river for a number of years now, and we've been providing opportunity to this person really annually for the last handful of years, well, really since the large-scale buyer left the area. So I don't see any concern with providing subsistence harvest unrestricted and then providing some commercial catch for a single person out there. Thanks.
Go ahead. Boyd.
Yeah, this is Boyd. I'm just curious, for a catcher seller, what type of gear are they? Is it the same as a subsistence user? They have to use the same type of gear?
Thanks, Boyd, for that question. So the gear for commercial would be 6-inch or less gill nets, 50 fathoms. Yeah, so it's really what everybody else is fishing with.
Okay, I was just curious.
Thanks, Boyd. Thanks, Nick. Robert, you're next.
I had a couple of things. I heard you mention something about commercial fishing. I honestly believe that commercial fishing in our region is justified by buyers that come up here. And in the past few years, there has not been any buyers in the Custer Quinn River here.
Mm-hmm.
Commercial fishing. Commercial fishing was closed a long time ago, and it seems to continue to be closed because of lack of buyers coming up here. After hearing about all the commercial fishing and all that other stuff going out on the ocean, they don't come up here anymore. They don't have to. They've got a cheaper way of doing things. It's just my assumption they're doing the commercial fishing down there in the high seas now, or the big ocean down there. So I honestly believe the commercial fishing has gone down the drain due to the cost of coming up here and hauling them all the way back down that way.
Yeah.
They found a shorter way and a cheaper way to do things. It seems to me that they're doing it down there by the commercial industry, which we don't have any say-so in that matter because of the different type of fishing industry that they have. And I think that's about all I have. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Robert. Nick?
Thanks, Robert. So the catcher seller that's registered here, so he... How that works is that it's one person, he comes in and registers with the department, and he has to find his own market. So he's not finding a big buyer to sell to. So this catcher seller, he can go out and catch fish, and then he has to have a market for those fish before he does it. So what I've heard is that people that don't have boats, don't have stuff like that, can't go fishing, will put in an order with him to go catch fish, and so to legally do it, he'll register as a catcher seller, and they'll meet him down at the dock. and they'll pick up their fish. So this is not a big organization.
I understand that.
Okay.
And I honestly believe that if the information our people don't really know about that catch and buyer stuff, how it's done, who it's done, and who's able to do it.
Yeah.
Because we still hold a commercial fishing license that was just suspended for however long. We still, our names are still on the commercial list. If there's a way to get inform the people that possibility is still there, if they could find their own buyer, maybe they'll have more of that stuff going on rather than just mentioning that in our meetings here that we have. And the system, how that's managed, and information on how to do that. I'm pretty sure that because of the cost of living around here has gotten so high, I think that will benefit a little bit on that problem here. Gas and oil has gone up so much, the food and everything. They're going to need everything they can possibly to assist them in their livelihood around here nowadays.
Yeah.
It's so expensive now to even go pick berries anymore. And that commercial, individual commercial process will probably help those ones that don't know about that possibility. So if there's a way to inform the people in the manner that you guys do it and the instructions to go along with it, I'm pretty sure that they'll have more people joining the process of single fishing, harvesting and stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. Do you have a rejoinder there, Nick? Well, Robert was just telling us, I think, number one, the seller for the Department of Fish and Game is mostly distributing his fish around Bethel. And so I think it's pretty much a local operation. Boyd, if you have, go ahead.
One other question was, I understand commercial permits or licenses for a regular commercial operation are, but you have to buy them from someone who already has one. That's difficult to get, but is this an easier type of, this catcher seller, is it like a regular commercial license, or is it just something that's easier to get?
Yeah, this is Nick again. So you do, in order to register as a catcher seller, you have to hold a Cusquam area commercial fishing permit.
Okay, thanks for the question, Boyd, and thanks for the answer, Nick. Are there other questions about this?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Albert.
If the fishing game lets the fishermen know, I've been asked before, is there going to be a commercial fishing or is there not? And what size mesh and what length of mesh? I mean, that's what they asked me. And I have no answers to that because I wouldn't know. So if the fishing wallet let us know how much length and depth and mesh size is, it would be appropriate. And not just by word of mouth. So that all the fishermen, that the ones that are want to go for commercial fishing, when they ask me or ask somebody else, we'd know. As right now, we're talking about, and you know, I go out after meetings, and some are here, and they'll ask me, and I have no answer for that, so it'd be better if fishing game or whoever it is, let the people know, the fishermen know.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chairman, I had just one more comment of the information that was given to us. I heard the department indicates that doing this one-on-one commercial fishing, you're allowed 50 fathoms. Is that correct? Did I hear you say 50 fathoms? Well, let me inform you, sir. For the last 2, 3, 4 years, or however long, we have been using 150 feet. That's a half a shackle, yeah. half of the 50 fathom. And you know, nets today are so expensive. And to hear that we can be able to use 50 fathoms now, and the fishermen on one-on-one, that's going to be a burden on that one-on-one fish process that they're going to be using. And it's $1,500 a net nowadays. And for a 50 fathom, it's been so long since we used 50 fathom, I don't know how much them fish cost nowadays. So I don't think that's going to, one-on-one buyer, boy, you really got to fish hard to, and be able to sell your fish in order to accommodate that. But it just puzzles me that we've been subsistence fishing for the need for subsistence fishing.
Yeah.
150 feet. And now that there's a one-on-one of those who know how to do this in the process that they're being used, they're allotted 50 fathoms. It seems like that's a sin to go into a custom quim now and use a 50 fathom net after we've been required and restricted to use 150 fathoms all these years. And it puzzles me that how you come up with that equation, and why did you come up with that equation of a 50 fathom allotment now? And it just puzzles me, that's all.
Yeah.
And it's a little late in the game to be purchasing a 50 fathom net with 150 fathom net. That has been required for a long, long time, and it's going to take a while. Only the ones that are prepared for this and notified, like I said, we don't really know how the process works and how that, well anyway, it's good to hear that it moves up to 50 fathoms, but I sure wish they continue to use 50 fathoms even in the subsistence arena. But, you know, that's rules and regulations that are being disseminated, seems like, out of the blue,
yeah.
You know. It's not a good idea to be giving stuff like that out of the blue. It's for those, to benefit those that know how to do this one-on-one commercial fishing process.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Thank you. Go ahead, Nick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Nick. So the comment of you had to use 25 fathoms is not entirely accurate for subsistence. Boyd can correct me, but this entire season that he's offered fishing periods, if you fish below the Johnson River, you could have used 50-fathom nets for subsistence. So it's not, you've had to use 25 fathoms solely. If you went below the Johnson, you use 50. In addition, every year that we've relaxed subsistence fishing restrictions on the Cusco when we go into call season, it reverts back to normal subsistence gear, which is unrestricted mesh size and up to 50 fathoms. So that is still there for subsistence.
See that again, please.
So when restrictions are lifted on the subsistence fishery, like we do during coho season, it reverts back to just normal subsistence gear, which on the Kuskokwim is unrestricted mesh. So whatever mesh size you want to use, up to 50 fathoms in length.
Boy, that's good information, sir. I'm so proud to hear that. I will inform the people now when you loudly disseminate that information on unrestricted, because the people are not educated now that we're hearing it, there's such a thing as restricted and unrestricted, and rules and regulations that fall under under unrestricted, we pull out the old 50,000 net, unrestricted mesh 8-inch,
That's right.
You know, it's that's information new to me on all about this, and me, I personally like to know everything, and I worry about the people that don't know nothing out there. And I'm feeling fear of using all this illegal gear that they've been restricted to use in these past few years. But that's good information to hear. I wish that was disseminated and educated to our people a little bit earlier. Now they'll be feeling better when we hear the word unrestricted. Yeah, I'll inform them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Robert, and thank you, Albert, also for your observations.
Mr.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, this is Dan.
Go ahead, Dan.
I'm going to be excused now.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming this morning.
I hope we have I hope sometime in the near future we got, as a working group, we take the class again for Robert's Rules for the new members.
All right. All
preferably
right.
At the end of the season, or take that into consideration at the end of the season meeting.
All right.
Have a good day, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Thanks again. Robert, and thank you for your comments.
Mr. Chair, this is Walter.
Go ahead, Walter.
You know, I'm kind of frustrated because you guys talk about commercial fishing and everything. If we have a poor run of kings and reds, if we have a low number, we have to go to the silvers. You know, I can't believe it. You guys talking about that, about commercial fishing, when the Yukon never fished for 3 years. You know, if it ever happened to us, I can't imagine not fishing for 3 years, you know, subsistence. And, you know, we're lucky on this side of the Cusco couldn't to even have fish. You know, I had people over here from the Yukon, and I had to give them fish. They said they never eat dry fish for 3 years. You know, I'm here, we're talking about commercial and net size and stuff like that. You know, like we went blind or something. You know, something happened to our first two runs with kings and reds. You know, we got to rely on those silvers. And you know, I'm sorry I feel this way, but you know, I feel like, you know, we should leave everything alone right now, because we're slowly coming back, and I think we're jumping the gun talking about commercial fishing and, you know, opening it up. I think, you know, if we have to, if we have a bad run, we'll have to rely on silver. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Walter. Oh, does anybody have a comment about Walter's comments?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Albert.
Yeah, I agree with that last person that talked. I think we should do what he said. Now, the silvers go low in numbers, and what are the subsistence users going to eat during the winter? That's my main question. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Albert. Are there other questions of the department's decision about our single commercial operator here on Kuskwim?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, in regards to what Walker was saying, with our red run and our king run, you know, we have to take a look at the whole life cycle of the salmon. When you reduce the silver salmon run, that leaves a predation to the Chinook and the Chum and even the reds to, you know, more lethality, whether it's natural or by natural prey. If you take away the silver salmon or reduce it, then the lethality for the Chinook and the Chum become greater, and that's just common sense. You know, you have to take a look at the whole operation of their lifestyle from the, being in their nests all the way to the fry, and what happens to them. I think we got to leave the commercial fishing dish completely out of it. It won't do nothing but hurt all the rest of the salmon because of that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Alan. Are you going to put that in the form of a motion?
Pardon me?
Are you going to put that in the form of a motion so we can vote on it?
You know, I don't know if you have enough cord to make a motion on that. There are other items I'd like to mention, and I don't know. I was going to wait till after weather to address the fishing game in Antioch area. We're going to start a fair on the 1st of, a Silver Salmon Derby on the 1st of August, and we don't know if we're going to even fish yet in the tributaries like Ohad, Ulugak, Antioch River, in the box, Fort Silvers, and those are a lot of questions that I need answers for.
Okay. Thank you,
Mr.
Alan.
Chair.
After weather, we will address that. Other questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, I think, the issue of commercial fishery, I don't think we're there. I don't think that's an issue. Right now, we have dealt with, we have the Chinook, the chum concern right now has passed the lower river, and there has been no commercial fishery for a long time. And for king fishery, since 1984, we had no commercial fishery at all. So I think with the issue of one catcher seller is only one right now, and I don't see any processors as I know of, and I didn't hear Nick reporting on the issue of commercial fishery. So for sellers, but my understanding is there's only one catcher seller right now, and the silvers are not here yet, and I think with the Bethel test fishery and with the sonar project, we have to be mindful of monitoring the upcoming silver season. But right now, I think with the issue of Chinook and chum, there's no commercial fishery at all. So I'm there. With the issue of the extended closure, we have been very concerned about the chum run. And I think that's the species right now that is a big concern at Area M and at the North Pacific and the high seas. So I think right now, I think the report that I'm seeing is one catcher seller
That was us, so I'll have to call back. I don't know why we disconnected.
Yeah, it happens.
How are you? GCI.
Right?
Welcome to the GCI Conference Center. Please enter your access code followed by the pound sign. Thank you. Please stand by. If you are the chairperson, press the star key now. Please enter your chairperson passcode, then press pound. You will now be placed into conference. There are 8 participants in the conference.
I'm assuming we're back online. I had the problems out here in Bethel. We don't know what they were, but there's a ghost, I think, somewhere around here. But anyhow, we are back in session for the Cuscorn River Senior Management Working Group, and we thank Savannah for helping us out here. And this has been a lively discussion. I think we have raised a lot of good points, and Nick may want to respond, I don't know, but I for one have appreciated this discussion that we've had about commercial fishing and about the intercept fishery, and we will address that as we need to further in the agenda. Are there other questions at this point?
Mr. Chair,
go ahead, Nick.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. This is Nick. I guess to touch on a few things, Mike is entirely correct. This is a single person that's here in the Bethel area that goes out on a catcher seller permit and fishes. And so I just want to relate to everybody that when we say commercial, I know it brings up visions of processing boats and tenders and boats lined up everywhere dropping fish off, but this is one person. And the second thing is I'm not talking about going fishing tomorrow commercially. I'm talking about looking at it around August 10th. So this was more of a I like to be transparent and open with what I'm thinking and let you guys know when I'm thinking of doing things. So I appreciate all the discussion surrounding this, but I think there may be some confusion going on, and that, you know, we can talk about this definitely later, but I just wanted to give everybody a heads up that we got a catcher seller registered with the department like we've had the last 5-6 years. And leading into August, once coho are here and once people are out there subsistence fishing, that's when I'd be looking to let this single person go fishing commercially. So that's all I have to say on that, Mr. Chair. I know there were some other questions.
All right, other questions for Nick? Thank you, Nick.
Mr. Chair,
Stephen Alexi.
Stephen, go ahead, number one, and then who else?
Yeah, I just have one question for Nick Smith. What is your preliminary forecast for the coho this year?
Thanks, Stephen. So our preliminary forecast is looking at another average run we've had the last couple of years. 2018 was a down year, but since then the run has been doing fine, and we've been doing normal subsistence harvest, and then this one catcher seller has been operating also the last handful of years. But, you know, we'll know more. We rely heavily on the in-season assessment data because we don't have a formal forecast like we do for Kings. So here in the next couple of weeks when coho start coming in, we'll get a better idea what the run is looking like. Thank you.
So how did they do last year, 100, 200,
300,000? Sorry, you're breaking up.
Repeat yourself. You were breaking up, Stephen.
So how did they do last year, 100,000, 200,000, 300,000? You know, what were the numbers last year? If it's comparable to last year, then there shouldn't be any issues of one person going out to fish and people buying from him, you know?
Yeah, through the chair, Sean. So we've had a sonar operating through August the last couple of years to better assess coho. And last year they counted about 220,000 coho.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, this is Kevin.
Stephen.
Mr. Chair, David.
Go ahead, Kevin, then Avery.
I can go after Avery. I think he was ahead of me.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Avery.
Go ahead, Avery.
You can go.
Here, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to bring up about the chums. If there's a concern for chums, I think we need to consider closing other areas of the river. For like upriver, it's been open all year long. They were able to fish for all the salmon species that are coming up the river, and there are still a handful of people in the lower river that wait for the end of the season, the tail end of the chums and early beginning of the silvers, and there's just still people that haven't gotten their net wet or had some taste of fish. So I think we need to consider that into the equation if we are moving forward with the chum concern.
Thanks, Avery. Are there questions of Avery?
Yeah, I have one, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, go ahead, Robert.
I didn't really understand the question, Avery. Are you stating that we in the lower Kuskokwim continue to not fish? That's my
correct
question.
So
is that what I
hearing? Wanted to say was that in the lower river, if your management consider is to remain the lower river closed, I feel like if there is a conservation concern for chums, that we may have to look at other areas of the river to close that potentially, or if there is an actual concern for them. Because there is people in the lower river that still have not fished, so other areas of the river are able to fish whenever.
If you're considering to close the lower river there, sir, you better consider closing the upper river too, instead of having them open 24/7. That is what's making the lower Kuskokwim people angry. That your motion or your recommendation is to close the lower river and keep the upper river open. If you close it on one end, you should close it on the other. And leave it that way.
Okay, thank you, Robert. Avery, anything else?
No, it's kind of covered. I just wanted to bring that up. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Again, thank you, Avery, and thank you, Robert. We really appreciate that. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just want to, sounds like we have a little bit of time before the coho get here as far as, especially I'm thinking about that single catcher processor, you know, that opener, the official opener being August 10. We have a little bit of time to make any motions, I guess. But I would like to point out a couple things. So subsistence harvest, you know, the lower bounds of the ANS, the state of Alaska's ANS, the lower range is about 27,000. And last year, we were below ANS for 2021 run for coho salmon. Even though it was an average run, it was we did not meet the lower end of subsistence needs. Same thing for 2013 and 2018. So we do need to keep that in mind. You know, subsistence needs should be priority. And I realize that This processor is selling to local people, and it could be considered, you know, subsistence needs or personal needs as well. But we didn't, even in an average run, if we had another average run this year, there's a good chance we're not going to meet our subsistence needs for coho. And last week, Dan Esai, he mentioned that, and I wish he was still on the call, but he was saying that he and his mom were talking about their subsistence needs in Nikolai and the hardships they're going through because of no chum and also very few king salmon getting up into that region. And Dan was saying that his mom was mentioning that they have lived through hard times before. You know, this is nothing new. They just need to buckle down and look at other means and methods and figure out what else is available. And this is coho salmon. So they're waiting for coho salmon to get up into that region. So I am worried that because we don't get sockeye up above Stony River, very few, it's rare that they get sockeye salmon. So the people up in Nikolai heavily rely on Chinook salmon, chum salmon, and coho. And if they're not getting Chinook and chum salmon, then they need coho. So I just want to point that out. I wish Dan was on the call to elaborate on that. That's all.
We're sorry. All circuits are busy. Welcome to the GCI Conference Center. Please enter your access code, followed by the pound sign. Thank you. Please stand by. If you are the chairperson, press the star key now. Please enter your chairperson passcode, then press pound. You will now be placed into conference. There are 14.
Gotta be the weather. Mm-hmm. I've done that before. It didn't work very well.
Welcome to the GCI Conference Center. Please enter your access code, followed by the pound sign. Thank you. Please stand by. If you are the chairperson, press the star key now. Please enter your chairperson passcode, then press pound. You will now be placed into conference. There are 16 participants in the conference.
Okay, thanks for your patience with us and with GCI also. And we thanks Savannah for helping us so much here with this problem we seem to be having. I'm going to, at this point, just make a suggestion that we put this under old business, the silver salmon, that is, and obviously the silver salmon issue brings up a lot of other issues, but I'm going to suggest that we put this under old business and discuss this next week, and that which would be October 27th, if I'm correct.
July.
Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but July 27th again, and put this under old business. So, what is your thinking about this? My justification is that Kevin has a good suggestion that we have time to consider this issue, and it does bring up a lot of other issues. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is Avery. I'd like to make a motion to move coho and commercial talk to next meeting.
Do I hear a second of Avery's motion?
Second.
Second by Mike. And the motion again, Avery, is that we put any discussion of silvers and the commercial fishing to our next meeting, correct?
Correct.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Avery.
Question, sir?
Question
for clarification.
Nick.
Avery, this is Nick. Are you talking to both subsistence and commercial fishing, pushing everything until next week?
No, I think the majority of it is just the commercial fishing talk, and it can go on for hours, and I don't think we need to talk about it yet because we are still in at the tail end of the thumb, and I think that...
Welcome to the GCI Conference Center. Please enter your access code followed by the pound sign. Welcome to the GCI Conference Center. Please enter your access code followed by the pound sign. Thank you. Please stand by. If you are the chairperson, press the star key now. Please enter your chairperson passcode, then press pound. You will now be placed into conference. There are 11 participants in the conference.
Again, we appreciate the Savannah's.
Mr. Chair, this is Avery.
Hey, go ahead, Avery.
Did you guys hear most of that? No, I got cut off during it, so I just wanted to say that I think that even though we're at the tail end of the chum round, we still need to talk about that for prioritize that for this meeting and focus on coho and commercial stuff next week, because that should be like 94% of the chums have gone past. So and then I have a saxiculture camp going on right now, so if the phones are going to continue to be like this, I'm not sure if I can remain on the line. I kind of got to get back to the helping with the camp, and I just wanted to say that those were two of my concerns about the lower river remaining closed while upper river isn't remaining open. Well, there's a concern for chums, and then that motion to move the coho and commercial fishery of the coho in the Kuskokwim River talk to next week. Thank you.
All right, Avery, do you make that in the form of an amendment to your first motion?
It wasn't really an amendment. I was just talking of the motion and then what I stated earlier in case, because everyone's been cut off, and about a leaf, and I just wanted the people to understand what I wanted to bring to this meeting before I head out.
All right. Thank you, Avery. And I, again, understanding that all individual actions you take and we take here at this meeting, the last Department of Fish and Game is being charged for, and we regret that, and we hope that they will make that right, that the state, being GCI, will make that right. But it has been suggested that we continue this meeting next week when the radio connections are better and our signals are better. Is there an opposition to that? Speak now, if you would, please.
Yeah, like my motion I made, or my comment I made earlier about the chum salmon being remaining closed in the lower river, I don't understand where it puts us now, that if we move this meeting forward to next week, I don't know what's going to happen to the lower river and the people and the lower Kuskokwim that had been waiting to fish.
That's a good concern.
But I agree with, yeah, but I agree with moving the meeting because it's blowing 40 outside right now. But this is my number one concern for the people to fish.
All right. What say other members?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think, you know, we have conserved up to this date, and I see Avery's concern about, you know, the lower river. And I know that it's been closed for a while, and people need to eat some fresh fish for the dinner. And it's just, you know, if the lower river is going to be closed, then I would be in support of closing the whole river if it's going to be closed from the bluffs on down. So I also have some dogs to feed, and I wonder if the whitefish net can be used to feed my dogs with, because we're running out of those fish that we caught about a week ago. So we're struggling to feed our dogs with the regular feed that we've been giving them for all our lives. So I'm concerned about the connection with GCI, but I think if we're going to close the lower river, then we...
Welcome to the GCI Conference Center. Please enter your access code followed by the pound sign. Thank you. Please stand by. If you are the chairperson, press the star key now. Please enter your chairperson passcode, then press pound.
You will now be placed into conference. There are 15 participants in the conference.
Wait until we hear all the beeps.
All right, I think we are on the line, at least temporarily. Here, I'm going to suggest that we suspend all operations in regarding this meeting until another time. And that maybe that other time is a week and maybe it is tomorrow, but I'm not sure. What say you, members of the Mentor Working Group?
Lamont.
Ms. Chair, the favorite.
Hey, go ahead, Avery.
I just want to let you know I'm listening. Hi.
Thanks, Mary.
There's a lot of people getting finished with this meeting because of a cutout, but I'd like to say if we haven't made any management considerations of the Lower River, I would like to have a meeting tomorrow to continue with this discussion on the CHUMS further.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Stephen Alexiev. Before you guys make any management considerations, you know, you guys said that 90% of the term have passed, and you guys are waiting another 10 days, 11 days to open it. You know, I for sure would like to go take my net out, soak it, get one term, and maybe four more. Pull my dogs through, like Mike saying, we're running low on dog food. But you know, what's five to six chums in a day when you're going to take them out when 90% of the fish have passed? And then you guys are switching over to chum man, coho management. I'm kind of surprised that Alaska area, man.
Welcome to the GCI Conference Center. Please enter your access code followed by the pound sign.
Didn't even make it through the...
Tomorrow at the same time, I'm sorry, gentlemen.
That's okay.
We don't know.
Yeah, it's
Yeah. Yeah. It's Joe Clark.
Yeah. Well, it's coming first thing for all of us. Thanks, Nick.
Yep.
Thank you, Rod.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
We're done.